teacher, and Edith Niehausmeyer, who was a Coy third grade teacher, who, by the way, lived till she was 98 last week. So, ready for the Pledge of Allegiance?
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I need a roll call, please, of the board.
Certainly. Mr. Shea?
Present.
Kennedy?
Here.
Mrs. Miller?
Here.
Mrs. Molnar?
Here.
And Mr. Zavisky?
Here.
Thank you. Staff and community recognition. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you. Typically, you know, when we have meetings, we invite our individual teachers or staff members that are retiring. Obviously, we're not having those folks individually here with us, but I do want to acknowledge them just by kind of reading their names and certainly publicly telling everyone and those individuals, thank you for their service with Oregon City Schools. You know, you've impacted a lot of people's lives, and we wish you the best, obviously, in your upcoming journeys. We have three teachers retiring from Jerusalem, Susan Karras, Kim Kinnearum, and Deborah Wineland. They kind of all going out together. I know they're going to be missed tremendously, but I know they're also very excited to start the next chapter. I also want to congratulate Pat Heinschel, who's a counselor at Clay High School, on her impending retirement. And I also want to congratulate Steve Balarecki and Nick Elkert as they move on to their future endeavors. So again, I want to thank all six of those individuals for their contributions to Oregon City Schools over the years, and wish them the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. As per the same announcement of last month, public participation has been suspended while we have virtual meetings during the pandemic. And we'll move on to the Treasurer's Report. Mrs. Fruits.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Miller. Couple things. The first item is I wanted to, hopefully you all got it uploaded. I have the updated appropriation measure for $56.4 million for the entire budget. It's our appropriation measure. So that was sent out. That's one of the items that will be approved tonight. The majority of my time I wanted to spend on the updating of the five-year forecast. We updated, of course, now it's November and May. And we couldn't have had more of a upheaval here before this most recent forecast. Obviously, there's still a lot more unknown than known. So I do believe this forecast will be changing, and we will update it as we know. Again, a forecast is simply what we know at the date that it was prepared. And there's a lot we still don't know. So I'm going to share, if I do this properly, my screen. I have this little, come here. All right, share. Hopefully you can see this now. Tell me if you can't, no.
We can see it, thank you, Jane.
Good, okay, I'm gonna move you guys over here. Okay, your faces here. What I have in front of you is major impact on the five-year forecast has been obviously the COVID pandemic. What I put together to try to just summarize as best I can, I don't always do that great a job summarizing, but I'll summarize as best I could annually, the negative here is the loss of revenue, and then the positives are the reduction of expense. And I have the negative and positives in terms of the impact on the cash balances. These aren't necessarily in the order of when they appear on the foundation or on the forecast, but we certainly found out the one number I know for sure is we're losing in 1920, we're losing $642,000 in our foundation. That's just out of the last three payments from the state, and that's right from ODE. So there's nothing guessing about this. The second year, if you look at foundation, this is more of a guess, a guesstimate. It was based on the ODE and some of the professional organizations recommending taking three times what we lost, because obviously this is one quarter. Let's take it for the whole year. We really don't know the total impact on the state yet. We kind of, I guess, are going to have to wait for the bottom. And then once it hits that, then we can see where we're at and go on from there. So we took, or I felt it was appropriate to take a course of being very conservative, and I did follow their guidelines. Further out, then we slowly get ourselves back up to the, frankly, I only took it back up to the 2019 pre-pandemic level. So very conservative, just to protect the district. Real estate collection losses, these are our taxes. Obviously, even when there's delinquencies, we ultimately do get those. It's just a matter of timing. So there was a recommendation to increase delinquencies by about 5%. So fairly modest, but our taxpayers are probably experiencing we know they're experiencing some tough times here with lost jobs, et cetera. Casino revenue, we were told it's going to be about 40%. So obviously they were expecting to lose 40% of the revenue. So obviously I used 60% of the receipts and then slowly backed it off so that ultimately in 23-24 we'll be collecting what we hope to get this year. Some other items, the Blackman, there was some, I'm going to reduce that a little bit based on we were getting past collections for that. Interest income, obviously, markets are down, going to be down, and our cash balances will be going down. So they said take 50% off the first year and slowly build it back up. So the real important line in this is that the entire cumulative revenue impact of COVID is the $4.2 million is out of our five-year forecast from the one that was done in November. So that's fairly significant. Now, we can't just absorb all that. We
Jane, can we stick on the revenue for a second?
Sure.
So the $1.9 million in 2021, you said it's three times that of this year. That's what, 10%?
Yep, roughly 10%. Exactly.
Okay. Then the reductions in 21-22 and 22-23, that's just guidance from your treasurer group saying that the funding, state foundation funding, may not come back all at once. So kind of phase it.
Well, some of them actually, I'm a little more conservative, and if we want to, you know, I won't argue with you. Some of them said, oh, bring it back up to 19 and 21-22. I thought, oh, let's just be a little more gradual. So you can see I haven't, taken a lot out. But that's just to be gradual, to say, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen with the state. And frankly, I think we'll be lucky to know in July, which is when they're supposed to have the formula to us. But, okay, any other questions?
Delinquencies, that's just because of the unemployment and different things. People may not be able to pay that on time, so we have some extra delinquencies built in.
Yes, that's exactly what that is, because I worry about our taxpayers.
The casino makes sense because that's not open and still not open. Uh-huh. Interest income makes sense. The Blackman one, is that $218,000 each year? I mean, so yep. Is that essentially almost $900,000 that we're saying we're losing in that?
Yeah, it's about $200,000 a year. Yeah, yeah.
So mm-hmm. Is that a change of process or policy? Did we change something that's causing that to go away?
And maybe I could have taken that off, but that is about, we were collecting, we had not been billing from two prior years. Now we're billing it and we're getting that. And I didn't think about that in the last time. Nothing's changed. It's just that shouldn't have been in there. So it's taken a couple hundred thousand out.
Okay. It's not a COVID related item.
No, it really isn't. No.
Okay. I just want to make the rest of them are though, the interest and everything is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, in reaction to this, because, you know, obviously we just can't sit still, we said, okay, what do we need to do with our expenses? What can we do to maintain our programs? But we got to address these loss of revenues. The first thing is for fiscal year 1920, it was pretty obviously when we were out as of mid-March, there would be no more further substitutes needed. So that is 2.5 months of our substitute costs compared to last year. And that includes salaries and fringes. Then the supplies were not required due to closure. Some of this is bus, fuel, things of that nature. And then we, I'm just going to go on down for 1920. I don't want to jump around, but we decided, listen, we got to take some action here. This is going to be a big deal because we were already facing, you know, deficit spending. So we decided not to hire extra summer workers. This includes technology. This includes painting, mowing. You know, we're really just going to use our current staff and not get all the extra projects done that Dean's group always does over the summer. And then there were some modest purchase service expenses. So while it's not a complete wash, we do feel that as best we could, if we look at the COVID revenue, we pretty much did wash it out fairly closely with just the expenses that we reduced this year. Moving forward, we're trying to make reductions. These are all done through attrition. There's nothing we aren't, truly through attrition. As people leave, we decide which positions are necessary. These are the administrative reductions, and obviously they carry out throughout. There's one administrative secretary, a special ed supervisor, and the plan is to freeze all administrative salaries at their current amount. There was a math resignation that we were able to absorb, and there was a resignation that was then replaced with a new teacher. So there's the resignation was not a retirement, it was a resignation, and therefore we were able to save a little bit on the salary, and that's pushed out through the rest of the forecast. We had an event custodian we are not replacing, and then there was a maintenance position that resigned, and we're going to not replace that. Tech position, we are not going to rent one through Nowaka. And some other purchase service reductions, these were just ways to squeeze. Where we really have worked to squeeze the budget, and this will be painful and felt at every district, this was Dean Hal and I. We worked to get supplies down and capital expenditures. We had set aside a larger amount to try to relieve the PI, Permanent Improvement Fund, wipe that out with this with what's been going on. So this is by year. You can see we reduced expenses in this forecast by about 6.467 through the corona situation. Now let me see if I can get this. Oh, I did.
Can you go back to that?
Oh, I hope. Oh, geez. Okay, I might have to go back. I have to go back. Okay, sorry about that. What was your question?
Well, on that list, all those reductions, and this may be a Hal question, all of them are at the discretion of the superintendent and are being implemented, but do any of them require board action?
No. Not to my knowledge that they do.
Do the administrative pay freeze require any action on the board?
Yes, it will.
Does that one? Okay.
Yeah, we will have to for that one.
Okay, so all the other ones are at Hal's discretion, leading the district, but we do have to have a board motion in the future to do the administrative pay freeze?
Yes.
Is that correct? I just want to make sure everyone, you know, that we all understand how these are being
implemented. Well, again, not knowing the future, you know, we have 5 years or 4 years of administrative pay freezes in there. And again, that's, you know, we're only going to be determining that really annually. And then that'll be obviously looked at as we go forward. So it's not like a decision this year and an indefinite freeze forever and ever. Amen. But I just wanted to point that out. It'll be an annual type thing as we look at where we're at financially and, in the working with the board.
Well, the only reason I put that in there like that is I'm trying to show you how it's represented in the 5-year forecast. That's the only reason. So we take it out the 1 year, and then we have the buildup of the percentages. So that's why it's in there. Obviously, this is going to change. We're trying to be as cautious as possible.
At some point, Jane, the administrative salary freeze for 1 year will come before the board to vote on?
Yes, it has to.
Okay.
And our contracts, administrative contracts run from, isn't it August 1st through July 31st?
31st, yeah.
So it needs to be on the board agenda probably in July so that, you know. So okay. Yes, that needs to be on the agenda. Thank you for that.
Jane, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but obviously the largest cost savings to help offset the COVID impact here we're showing is supplies by $500,000 up to $600,000 by year five. Mm-hmm. Can you give some examples of like what you're talking about from a supply standpoint that we're cutting that's going to generate that much savings?
Oh, we're cutting the, well, let me see. I have all the supply listings. Bear with me. We are.
Is that simply just not that we always increase it by 2-4% each year and we're just not doing that?
Yeah, and it's also a big slash for the first year. We were getting very generous with supplies. We were very generous. And so we're simply pulling back. We're kind of pulling back. I think Hal wanted to go back a good 20%. I think we're a little bit over 17-18 levels. So it's not as horrifying, you know what I mean? It's doable, but we are pulling it back. We even did things like we backed off some of the operating, like maintenance supplies, some a little bit on bus supplies, just because we are potentially buying new buses.
So it's not just classroom supplies, it hits all departments.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's all departments. All departments. The other thing for the purchase services, I don't believe that any of, I know that there'll be, we're talking and this isn't this, I don't know if this requires, I don't think this requires a board motion, but we're talking about, professional development is going to be, on site. We're not, spending travel money and things like that, except for, I think there might be one principal that got into a leadership that we already approved. And then if career tech, those students get to travel and to their, what are they, their competitions and things like that. That's really about all we left in there besides the normal mileage that's in the negotiated agreement. So yeah, we hit it hard. Is it, are we going to have to reevaluate it? I don't know. I hope not, but that's where we hit it because we'd gotten very, not overly generous, but we were allowing things to be bought.
And I'll just add, we're going into some very, very significant financial tough times. The writing's on the wall, it's evident. And we have to take, as tight of measures as we can take. And we know that we haven't spelled out every single dollar amount to every single account, but we took the overall amount and slashed it by a percentage. And we're just going to have to work. There won't be any discretionary funding or spending at all. How we deal with each and every aspect of our district, from paper to oil changes, to going to Menards to pick up this piece or that piece, is all going to come to a grinding halt. And we're going to do everything we can to, obviously, things that break, we need to fix. Things that we have to have for running our classrooms, we'll have. But we're going to rein it in big time. And it's, the future is going to come down to these types of decisions and then programs for kids without future support. And we realize that the COVID pandemic has changed the world, and it's certainly changed our little world. And we're going to do everything to maintain stability and maintain and show the public that, we're doing everything that we can do, certainly within our walls. And then our public's going to have to continue to understand that it's a shared partnership. And, we're going to show them the numbers. We're going to be transparent, and we're going to do the best we can. So these are hard decisions. These are very hard.
Something that I should also point out is that I didn't list is I did take the natural gas plant out. I'm not going to put anything in until we actually have a shovel full. I know there's still optimism for it. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I'm not going to take that in and out of the forecast anymore. When you I know this lovely graph, but the only thing I want to point out on this is the red line, total revenue, it is below fiscal year 17 levels, okay? So this is significant. This is significant to us, and obviously this is my cash balances, and gets pretty ugly down here. All said and done, I'm supposed to be stopping sharing. What am I doing here?
Is that, I don't think that graph is on our screen anymore.
No, it's not. There you go. I was trying to get it down. Yeah. Okay. The bottom line is, when we're all said and done, the deficit spending in the last year of this forecast has increased 6%. So we have some tough decisions to make. We have to, that's why I believe Hal's going to be, and the Finance Committee is going to be recommending a meeting where we really talk in the details and get into how we want to handle this. Because obviously, there's really only two ways, increase revenue or hit more expenditures, which we'll get into some programming. So unless there are questions, I think that's my report, unless there are questions. I don't want to leave anything hanging.
On a question under the five-year forecast, Jane, real quick, the fringe benefits, are those the things like healthcare costs?
Okay, yes, and thank you for bringing that up. It's like retirement. Everybody, the board pays 14%, employees pay 14 or 10%. It's retirement, it's workers' comp, and it's insurance. We had last year we had a 7% reduction in our insurance premiums, which is why we've been trending so nicely, negative on our fringe benefits. Right now, the best quote I have is a 19% increase. So we will be I'll get another thing Friday. I'll need to talk.
Is that the cause for your $1.8 million increase in 21?
Yes, it's huge. Okay. I put 16% in just to prepare, but the best one right now is 19%, and that's significant. So that's why. Thank you.
So in that column, I guess just looking at it, is that that's where we need to come together and discuss where we can make the biggest impact to help find some cost savings throughout the district.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's huge. Okay. So any other questions? It's the first time I've done this virtually, so hopefully you have the history, you have the, the detail of the revenue. I can send out the detail on all the expenditures, and I don't want to overwhelm you with paper, but that is the forecast.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Motion to accept Treasurer's report.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy? Oh, did you say yes? Okay. Mr. Zavisky?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes.
Oh. Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda items A and B. Are there any items that the members of the board wish to pull from the regular meeting consent agenda? Hearing none, we need a motion to vote on those consent agenda items.
So moved.
Second?
Heather seconded.
Yeah, I saw her. Thank you.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Okay, moving on to new business, I need a motion to approve the list of Clay High School graduates pending the fulfillment of state and local requirements. May I have a motion?
So moved.
All right, I heard Mrs. Miller and then Mr. Shea, if that's okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Congratulations.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Okay, moving to item B, the fee schedules, items 1, 2, 3, and 4. I need a motion to approve the fee for the elementary, middle school, junior high, and high school.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Discussion?
Just a quick question, Hal. Just want to make sure anybody watching this that no changes to the fees, same as what we had this current year?
Everything is the same. I'm not exactly sure if there's any dollar difference in the high school fee on maybe a particular one, but there's been no indication to me by any of the principals that there's been a raise. So I'm pretty confident there hasn't been any raise. And just a point of clarification on B2, where it says intermediate and junior high schools and it says art and band. In the addendum, it's separated out. What we're voting on is the addendum, not the way it's written here. That makes sense? Just to be clear, we do not have a intermediate art and band fee.
Right.
So those are canceled out, in other words.
Yeah, it's written correctly on the addendum, just wasn't deleted on the original.
Okay, any further discussion?
Okay.
Roll call.
Mrs. Miller, wait, I apologize. I might have done, sorry. Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Now Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Okay, item C. A bus bid resolution. I will need a motion to approve the resolution that says, whereas the Oregon Board of Education wishes to advertise and receive bids for the purchase of 4 71 passenger conventional type school buses. Therefore, be it resolved, the Oregon Board of Education wishes to participate and authorize Meta Solutions, META, to advertise and receive bids on said board's behalf as per the specifications submitted for the cooperative purchase of 4 71 passenger conventional school buses. This is on the regular rotation of buses. May I have a motion to approve the resolution,
please? So moved.
A second?
Second.
Discussion.
Dean, if you could just clarify, this is just a motion for us to approve bidding out the buses. We're not actually purchasing 4 buses, correct?
Well, we are. We have, in PI, we do 3 buses per year. This is a different scenario this year because of our, I'm going to get it wrong, but our 2004 buses, these are 12. Well, I'm not going to get that right. We have a glut of buses that are 12 years old that we need to replace. So that's where the extra bus comes in. Now, this resolution is simply to allow Meta to do the bidding for
to
us.
To bidding them out.
That's correct.
Yes. And then we'll have a separate resolution.
Will there be another motion in the future to accept the lowest bid when they come in?
Well, again, the Meta takes over that requirement of bidding from us. They are able to do that. But yes, you are correct. There is another bid, board resolution that'll say to actually purchase at a certain price.
Okay,
thank you.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar. Sorry.
Yes. Moving on to item D. The 2019-2020 spring sports supplementals. We need a motion to approve the entire final supplemental pay for the spring coaching contracts after the season was canceled in response to the virus pandemic. This allows the spring coaches to receive payment for the full season. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, discussion. I do want to say that according to the Ohio Revised Code 3319.08A and B and 3319.12, it is suggested that we do this for the next four, D, E, and F. And as per the Auditor of State's recommendation, to pay all employees their full salaries during this time. Is there any discussion?
I just want to make a comment that, like I said, for all the coaches, not just the spring sport coaches, but all the coaches, I know a lot of them have continued to coach during, even after the season was canceled. My son's a prime candidate. He continued to receive remind messages with workouts and what to do and prepare and keep moving forward from the coaches, more motivation, mentor type things. I know baseball did the same thing. Unfortunately, I'm sure not every coach, not every employee, teacher, administrator in the district really worked the entire contract as it's worded. We can't single out individuals, so I have no problem, you know, paying all our employees for the, assuming they did the role, and specifically with coaches, I just want to thank them for continuing the coach, counselor, and mentor all student athletes, even if the season wasn't going on. That goes on for all the coaches in football, volleyball, soccer, lacrosse, all of them.
Well, then there were the added things about collecting uniforms and helping with students who put in for scholarships and all that paperwork too for those people. So is there any further discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar.
Yeah. Okay, item E, the year-long supplemental contract. Motion to approve the entire final supplemental payment of year-long supplemental co-curricular contracts for contractual amounts, with the expectation that the work has continued throughout the pandemic. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Just maybe clarification. I know me and Hal and Jane talked about this a little bit. Do we have supplementals that are not year long?
Yes, we have season
been completed like during different parts of the season?
Yes, that's the point. We don't even hire. We only hire like for fall sports. That's that period.
I assume these are referring to non-athletic positions. Do we have non-athletic, non-year-long supplementals?
No, we don't. We typically have year-long. These are all like the yearbook, things like that. I'm sure we'll have a yearbook. DECA, it's some of the BLT teams, building leadership teams, those types of items. So those are definitely year-long.
And it refers to all school buildings?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, roll call.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Sorry, I missed you. Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Item F, we need a motion to pay certified classified staff of the Oregon Board of Education during the pandemic based upon negotiated hours, regular bid hours only, and the completion of assignments as requested by administration and supervisors. The classified staff includes, for purposes of this motion, bus drivers, paras, bus monitors, secretaries, custodians, maintenance, bus mechanics, classified administrators, cafeteria staff, and fiscal payroll staff. This includes all staff included in OPC contract and secretaries, technology department, fiscal employees not included under the OPC contract, certified staff. This includes, for the purposes of this motion, teachers, counselors, administrators, psychologists, and Title I tutors. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Molnar?
Yeah. Item G is donations. We need a motion to approve the following donations that were for signs for the 2020 Clay High School graduates. There are 18 of them. Tesco, S&D Capital, Oregon Clean Energy, Lisa and Jeff Keller, Oregon Chiropractic, Mind Over Core, Amy and Rod Hansen, Dana and Chad Wheeler, Summer Riesler for the Oregon Economic Development Foundation, Bethany Williams for the Eastern Maumee Bay Chamber of Commerce, Jim Jeffrey, Lisa Joseph, Prestige, Michelle and Don Hansen, Don and Melissa Hansen, Bethany Williams, Summer and Riesler, and then Meyer donated 150 paper bags to Clay High School for the athletic award and personal property pickup. The Corollaires made a donation of $1,128.49 to the music department. And the United States Marine Corps made a donation of pencils to the Clay to be used when a student signs. So the pencils do not need to be used by others. May I have a motion to accept those donations, please?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Do you mind if Mr. Kennedy second?
That's fine.
Okay.
Discussion? Fine. Thank you to all those people. We really appreciate it, as do the 2020 graduates. Roll call.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Item H, we need is a settlement agreement. We need a motion to approve a settlement agreement with Rob Parmalee. This agreement has been distributed to the board. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
All right, Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Moving to item I, Chromebook purchase. We need a motion to approve the funding from the Permanent Improvement Funds for Chromebook devices not to exceed $320,000 net of the trade-in value. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
And just to clarify a little bit on this, and Jeff and I have worked with Jane and Don in regards to this. So this purchase encompasses the high school and the junior high moving away from the MacBooks into the Chromebooks, correct, Jane?
Yes. Yes, it's okay. Allows Dawn to look into that to make sure we can get a good enough trade and not to exceed this dollar amount.
Right. So that net 320 is because the purchase itself would be a little bit higher than $500,000 to supply those Chromebooks to those two locations. But the board approving this measure that we will not exceed net 320, stating based on the resale value of all of the MacBooks that we collect back from the high school and the junior high for a resale on the private market.
Correct.
I said, so in other words, we won't be spending $500,000-$600,000 out of the capital fund. It'll be the net amount is the only thing we see come out of that. And just for clarification, we're going away from the MacBooks from the high school, taking the whole district to Chromebooks. And this is the updated version of the Chromebook that it folds over. It can be a touchpad or whatever the wording is.
Correct. Yeah, it's the it allows more flexibility with certainly the ability to fold it and use it as a tablet, which our current ones can't, but it also has the ability to use a stylus, and there's some software that allows us to, I don't know, kind of like an iPad, right? You could write on it, do math problems, those types of things. So there's a real instructional benefit to it.
When I think with not knowing what our future holds from a distance learning standpoint in the fall, this will benefit our kids if at both the high school and facet level, if we do have to distance learn again in the fall.
Yeah.
And okay. Jane, if for some reason the trade-in value isn't as much as we thought and would go over the 320, we either wouldn't do it or would have to come back to the board to as a new motion to approve.
Yeah, I believe we've talked about this, and I don't want to be out of turn. We're kind of being a little more cautious, I believe. We've kind of said, hey, Dawn, let's get going on the high school, and then let's kind of see what that trade-in is, and let's see where we land. Is that fair, Hal?
We delayed the 7th and 8th grade purchase as our backup plan. If we didn't get the trade-in value like we were expecting. Does that make sense? That was kind of what we talked about. We kind of rank ordered how we wanted to do it. So we know that junior high purchase is valuable and necessary, but we still have a few concerns about the impact in the general fund and the PI that we're looking at. We had a meeting today specifically. So we talked about this exact thing, waiting to see what the specific amount that we get for trade-in value before we made the absolute final decision on the junior high.
Yeah, the junior high.
Would that be for this upcoming school year?
I'm sorry?
Is that for this upcoming school year?
Yep. The trade-in value on certainly our Macintosh that Dawn's research is at an all-time high because of the number of schools across the country that are purchasing technology for their buildings because of the COVID pandemic. So the resale value will never be higher. We were talking about doing this prior to the pandemic for sure. And the idea that we can get a substantial amount of trade-in value, we believe, accelerated the idea or I guess confirmed the idea that we need to move forward, at least with the high school for sure.
Okay, economically.
Go ahead, Mike.
Economically, I understand where we're going with this. What about technology with the students? If we do not attend school to where they can be trained on the switch of platforms, is there going to be a difficulty? I understand a lot of it's online learning, so that's just a matter of being able to access that online site like Schoology or whatever. But is there going to be a big learning curve that we're not going to be able to hand to these students?
I guess I'll answer that this way. The Google Chromebook will function the exact same way as the current ones do, the only addition is this piece of software, and I'm forgetting the name right now off the top of my head, that will allow kids to use it with a stylus. So there'll be one piece of software we would need to teach the kids new. And remember, kids all the way through eighth grade have had Chromebooks. So the adjustment, even the kids that have had MacBooks in the high school had Chromebooks back in junior high. So virtually all our kids should be able to jump on board pretty darn quickly, at least with the use of the Chromebook. There just may be a piece of software or an app or two that they, and these kids will pick it up like that. Does that answer your question, Mike?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we've taken that in consideration so that they're not going to be a month behind because they're not able to change over.
Listen, I'm proud of Dawn and I'm proud of the discussion. I mean, we know we're right in this awkward time of spending money versus what do we need to do, but we know our kids and technology, it's we've got to be prepared. There's been many districts that were not prepared and many local districts that were not prepared. We were prepared. And we had the technology in the hands of kids right from the beginning. So I feel very good about where we're headed. We've been ahead of the curve in technology for a long time. And this is just one of those steps. And our MacBooks are starting to fail anyways. And we talked with that in the finance committee. And we would be putting money into batteries for a lot of them. And those batteries cost quite a bit. So just everything added up for sure for the high school right now. And then if we can wing it financially, we want to do the junior high as well because of the instructional impact.
And we hopefully within a month we'll be getting $125,000 Medicaid reimbursement. It hasn't come yet. We just want to be careful. That's really the whole point here. Be careful.
Okay, good discussion. Anything further? Roll call.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
Mr. Shea.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar.
Yes. Item J on the agenda is the disposal of books and materials. We need a motion to dispose of items A through T. For anyone who doesn't have the list, there's only one on there that he has a 2000 copyright. The rest are from 1999 and older. So may I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Mike.
Second?
Thanks.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
And Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Thank you. And moving to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mrs. Molnar. Just want to acknowledge, appreciate the board's support tonight on the consent agenda. We did hire a lot of our returning teachers and their contracts were hired tonight, so congratulations to them. We did hire a couple of brand new teachers to our district, two of them at Jerusalem Elementary, Emily Howland Feller and Susan Lynn. Both have been with us for quite a few years as title instructors, so I just want to put a shout out to both of them. Normally we would acknowledge them in a meeting in front of the board and introduce you to them, but they have worked very hard on behalf of Oregon City Schools, and I certainly congratulate both of them, and we're excited to have them on board. Moving into my report, so a couple of things. One, the end of year activities are going on now. As you know, a couple of you have been through it as parents with the drop off and exchange. Other than the weather, I just want to thank our principals and all the staff that's come out to help those folks. It sounds by all accounts that it's going very, very well. It's a quick in and out process where we gather the devices and books and we hand them a Myers bag or some kind of bag with the personals and off they go. So again, you know, we worry about these things, but I'll tell you, our principals and their teams have put together a very good process, very smooth. So I just want to put a shout out to all their work and time because it's paying off right now. We're really shifting our thought process heavily from this year, obviously, to next year. And, you know, what does next year look like? I'll be putting together a task force or a group of employees. Hopefully the board will be a part of this if you're available. Representatives from all parts of our district, a couple of community members, and really start to talk about the options that'll be on the table. Not really knowing what the guidance will be in place. All indicators are that we will be opening up in the fall with students. And, you know, my guess right now, if you were to place a bet, I would say that we're going to open up with the ability to bring all our kids to school. And we're going to work with our local health departments, which we had a meeting today. We will continue to obviously follow any guidance that comes out from the state or federal levels. But there's a lot of apprehension about what that means. And I'm already receiving emails from parents with grave concerns both ways. Some really want our schools to open that are concerned that we won't, and others are very concerned that we are considering opening it up. So I just guess want to prepare the board that the opening school is becoming political as much as it is a health concern. And that bothers me a little bit, and we're going to have to do what's right, and we're going to have to do what we believe is right. we need to get kids back in school, in my opinion. Online learning has been functional, but I don't think it's been optimal. And I think most parents will want their kids back in school. So we'll do everything we can to have a plan in place to make that the best situation and the healthiest and safest situation possible. So I don't know if there's
ask a question in this part. So the draft guidance from the governor kind of came out, listened to some stuff, but it kind of like talking to you, it sounds like it's going to be the county health departments are really going to guide. So will there be consistency amongst Lucas County schools, unlike we had in graduation? I mean, if one school is not doing masks, will the other county schools not and just make it voluntary? Will there be consistency, or is there going to be a consistency to a level then districts can do their own thing?
To answer your question, that's today. We had an hour conversation every Tuesday with the Lucas County superintendents and the director, health directors from Wood and Lucas County today. So there's about 10 of us on a call, and that was the topic for the full hour. We all want to bring consistency in Lucas County. We understand that if we're all doing something completely separate and totally individual, that there's just going to cause division with families and people frustrated. We're going to do everything we can to be consistent. I got to tell you, both of the Wood County and Lucas County health directors are phenomenal people. They are approachable. They are accessible. They are willing to listen. They hold some of our same philosophies on what is practical and what is not practical. The one thing they are frustrated with is that there isn't a real smooth communication chain between their offices and the state. Right now, so they're not exactly sure what their role will be, although Jeff, you are correct, that is what the governor said. And some draft guidance, you know, that has been kind of caught by the media has said that that's kind of where the onus will lie, is at the local. So we're going to put a plan together working with them starting next week, literally with them on the other line, just like tonight on Zoom calls, and they're going to be along every step of the way. We have to determine how busing works, right? There's really only a few core things we have to figure out, right? Social distancing, what does it mean? Is it practical? Masks, what does it mean? Is it practical? Are kids or a staff sick? Do we check? Is it practical? How do we check? And large group settings within a school system, right? Band, choir, I don't know, other large group settings. How do we do it? Is it lunchrooms, cafeterias, all those types of things, recesses? Are they practical? Are they safe? And these are those types of things that we're going to have to put a plan together under the parameters of whatever comes out of the state. So I do not foresee right now a blended system. That doesn't mean it can't be imposed on us. But I haven't heard too many people in favor of a blended system. There are just too many barriers to any kind of continuity in education, in my opinion. So I don't know if that helped, Jeff, but to answer your question, absolutely, we want consistency. The problem is each community and each board and each superintendent, you know, we all have different like pressures and different expectations for speed on these types of things. And so we all have to just, you know, and I'm asking all of us, you know, I promise we're on top of it as much as anybody can be on top of it. It's just you can go too fast and have all your hard work for nothing. And so we want to make sure we know which way we're headed. And frankly, that was the guidance today from our health director, Eric. So next year is the focus, and we will do everything we can to have a balance between education and health. And to me, the key word is balance. And how are we going to balance the safety and health, the health and safety and the educational needs of our community? So shifting gears a little bit, I just want to put this out in front of you. There has been recommended and come to my attention the idea of a band fee and a instrument rental fee. So I am kind of putting this out to you now as a board for the first time. Basically, I wanted to inform you that there's a recommendation on the table to bring next month the board to implement a new, quote, pay-to-play type idea for band of a recommended $70 for all band students. And I'm not sure, an unspecified amount for students who rent band instruments. And those are things that other districts are doing, certainly in the area. Given the shortfall in band and the need for new uniforms, which are $1,000 a piece, we really want to look at this. But again, I want to bring it to the board and then get it in your minds, and then maybe we can have further discussion between now and next meeting through the finance committee or through a possible special meeting that we have, and get your thoughts on those types of things, and we can get in more detail as to what's behind that recommendation right now. So
did that come from the band parents group or the district?
It's coming more from the band director than Mr. Kudzal, than from the booster groups. The booster groups are going to continue to do what they do, I assume and hope. You know, they do a wonderful job in raising money. But you know, is the Heather, you know, how old are those uniforms now?
11 years. And typically, you know, the last 10 to 15 years. So we're already looking at, in the next, you know, 4 years, we need to purchase new uniforms. And so we are really low compared to all the other districts. So just to take a look at that, I think we need to open up the conversation.
And Mr. Kudzal approached me about 2 months ago already about a possibility of like a rental fee on band uniforms, because they're so expensive. And maybe if they pay a rental uniform, they'll take better care of them. I don't know.
You mean instruments instead of uniforms?
Both. Okay. Both.
Okay.
Kind of idea.
So I think it's worth some discussion. I plan to have a meeting between this meeting and whenever we want to have this discussion, whether it's the special meeting or next, with Mr. Kudzal and Mr. Jersky, and get a real good solid understanding of exactly what the recommendation is. But I wanted to put that in front of the board for consideration, at least at this point. Any other questions?
Yeah, it would be good to have, if we're going to be preparing for that, have our band director maybe get some numbers from the other schools and see what they're doing, and you know, the ones pretty much like we do when we do athletics or we do anything else, and we have something to compare to see where we are in the water.
Right, we have a list of several districts, but we can definitely get that compiled with Mr. Kudzal, and that's where he's basing his numbers off of. I mean, the average. I mean, we're below the average significantly. So I'm sure he'll be glad to prepare whatever is needed.
Yep, we can even bring him in for the conversation too, if that's something that we want to do.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, just shifting gears. Kindergarten registration's been going strong for 2 weeks, and we have 146 kindergartners as of today registered, or at least in the process that we know their names and are coming. Just to give you context, we had 259 students registered for this past year, the current year, in kindergarten, which is a bump up from the year before when we only had 212. So I'm not sure where we're headed with that, but I feel pleased with the 146 in 2 weeks. So obviously kindergarten registration trickles in throughout the summer all the way literally into the first week of school. But I feel like that number is a pretty solid number given the point where we're at and given all the pandemic and everything we've been doing. So we've been doing it all via phone. Parents can drop off stuff in our vestibule in our office, but no one's coming into the office, and we're doing all the follow-ups via phone. So it's been working real well, and a lot of them have been mailing in their paperwork as well. And then if it's something they need a copy, we just mail it back home. So kudos to the registration staff down there. Just want to make a statement about funding and just, you know, kind of just lay a little bit out there. You know, funding of our school system is going to be very challenging, all school systems, challenging moving forward. The COVID and the coronavirus will have an estimated impact, like we talked, of $4.2 million throughout the five-year forecast, possibly more. Funding for our schools has been shifting to the local taxpayer for a long time. And now with state budget cuts, all right, state budget cuts are going to force even a higher shift to the local taxpayer, right or wrong. It just is. The Oregon and Jerusalem communities will have some hard choices to make in the upcoming months and years with supporting a levy. And I know the levy is something that's very difficult to process right now given the situation that we're in. And we're going to have more discussion about where we go with that. But at the end of the day, Mrs. Fruth made the comment, you know, there's really only two ways for a district to survive, and that's to raise revenue or cut expenses. Well, I can guarantee you we're going to be cutting expenses, but we're also going to have to raise revenue. And the public needs to understand that there's no way we can, you know, cut our way out of this situation. I mean, we're going to need support. I feel very confident our community will get that and understand that, and we'll prove to them what we are doing, and that this coronavirus has changed the game for all of us, and we recognize that, and we'll work very hard. We've already made, as you saw, $1.3 million reductions for this upcoming year, which is, you know, that's significant stuff. It's certainly not low-hanging fruit, but it is something we did without impacting too many individuals in terms of jobs. And that's a good thing. Other districts are slashing jobs for this upcoming year. I would say, given what we end up doing as a board with a levy and what the community will support, we're only a year to a year and a half away from, you know, really looking at jobs and really looking at programs for kids. And, you know, we do not want this district to go backwards. We want to maintain everything that we possibly can programming for kids. It's never going to be more important. So I want our community to remain strong, but you need a strong school system for a community to remain strong. So we're going to do everything we can to plan and to work hard. But the grim reality is we're in a situation we haven't been in a long time. And it's a bit unknown, as Mrs. Fruth said earlier. We don't know what we kind of have an idea what next year's state funding cuts look like, but we don't know what the following year might look like. And that could be bad. That could be, you know, the same. We don't know. So, you know, the five-year forecast is what it is. It's a forecast, and we're hoping that some revenue through the plants down the road can benefit us, those types of things. But I just want to prepare everybody that, you know, tough discussions will have to happen, and we'll be transparent. We'll be honest. We'll lay everything out as simply as we can, and we'll answer as many questions as we can, and do everything we can to keep the district, you know, moving forward.
Certified the final election results today. Do you know what the final numbers were? Have you seen them?
I have not seen them. They came out today, you're saying?
I read somewhere that they certified them at the county, but I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen them.
So I will check tonight. Yeah, I have not seen the final. Yeah, there was a lot of... you know, there's a lot of question about what this election and how the absentee ballots were handled. And there's a lot of question about what the fall will look like. You know, so we'll have to take into consideration certainly what the voting methods are in the fall. Also, in the decision about a levy. And just lastly, I want to thank our Vicki Laurel, Dean Sandwich, our entire food service department, and all the employee volunteers that came out for the last 9 weeks. We provided close to 75,000 meals to people in their cars that drove up, and we took boxes out to them, and you know, off they drove. And so we provided a strong service, and I can't thank our people enough. By the third week, it was about as smooth an operation as possible. So Dean, thank you. Vicki, thank you. Everybody, you know, the people were so appreciative every day. I think we had one person one time in one car that was frustrated. And I think Dean can remember that individual. But outside of that one time, everybody was so appreciative. And we even had a gentleman, senior citizen, drove through the very last day and gave us $20. To apply towards the food service department just as a thank you. He didn't take any food. He was just connected with somebody who did and wanted to say thank you. And it was such a nice gesture. And it just kind of symbolized, you know, how important the meals were to people. So again, thank you to the board as well for allowing us to do that. And we are done now for for the year. There's several other opportunities for people to get meals. We passed out where they could go to get those meals, primarily the Oregon Library. It will be the most local, but there's other options throughout the summer. So,
got a two-part question for you. When do you think we might be able to meet again in person with the social distancing? I know there's been some public meetings, boards of other areas. I've started meeting it live again. And the second one, probably more board discussion. But is there a way to continue to stream the meetings live now that we have that capability? I think people are getting used to certain meetings being streamed live. Is that a potential to continue to stream our meetings live on our YouTube channel as we start to meet in person?
I believe we can start meeting in person anytime we want moving forward, as long as we follow the distancing, which we could, I think, easily do. So if the board wanted to come back in June or maybe shoot for a July, that's really a discussion we can have at any time. I knew the question about videotaping was going to come up, whether from the public or something, because it has been brought up at many other boards too. So again, if that's what the board wishes, I mean, it opens up transparency. I'm fine with it. What we just have to do is we have to control what's said, you know what I mean, from privacy and those types of things. I mean, we have to be real careful when it's all out there and that we're not saying anything we shouldn't, right, in terms of the privacy and those types of things. That's my only concern. It's not anything related to transparency. So as long as we just all understand that, but I think the board would have to make at least a public motion on that or something, that's what we know, or look at our policy maybe.
I'd like to have the board have that discussion moving forward and probably have Don in, because obviously as you do a Zoom meeting moving forward, we're not each logging into our own devices, not gonna look like this. So it'd be the wide angle, or she'd be, you know, using the camera to zoom in on people as they speak, or I'd like to hear from her kind of how it would look, operate, and what it would entail.
Right now?
No, just at a future meeting when, you know, if we want to bring it up.
Well, I wasn't sure if you wanted it. Yeah, okay.
The other thing that we have to consider is the public participation, and they would need to understand that we cannot use certain names and those things. And I think that's my real only concern with doing that, is that other people in that area of public participation don't understand the rules that we have to follow. Privacy rules. So we'll discuss it later. Okay, Superintendent, sir, are you done?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Molnar. I am.
Thank you. Any old business from anyone? Okay, board committee reports, finance.
Finance committee met last week. We kind of went over in detail what Jane and Hal presented to you tonight on the budgetary impacts, the loss of revenue, and where the reductions are coming. At this point, I am going to ask the board to set a special meeting before our next regular meeting, probably towards the end of the month or the first week of June. The finance committee is going to meet in between now and the next, in that special meeting, get a little bit more in the weeds of the expenditures and the expense reductions, and hopefully by then Jane may have more detail from the state as far as what the reductions would be. Again, we'll have a special meeting to talk about that, and then we have the regular meeting, and then Jane may require another special meeting towards the end of the fiscal year to wrap up any loose ends. One thing that's not in the five-year forecast, and we'll probably talk more about at the special meeting, is the CARES Act money that the district received. Received some money. Jane doesn't have all the details or timing or guidelines on it, but it's going to operate like a grant money, so that's why it's not part of the five-year forecast. But we'll have that, more discussion of that at the special meeting that we have. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Zavisky. Any questions for Finance Committee? Okay, Capital Improvement, Health and Safety.
Capital Improvement, we met, and all of our discussion was centered around the Chromebook purchases and the MacBook resale value, which we discussed here earlier in the meeting.
Thank you. Any questions for capital improvement? Okay, policy personnel. We have had no new policies. I think everybody's too concerned with other things that are going on, so nobody handed us new policies. Personnel, we have the new hirings and the retirements. Academic?
We did not meet. No report.
Okay, legislative?
No report.
Student achievement is no report. Any further board discussion? Executive committee, executive session. Anyone need an executive session? Okay, let's, the regular meeting is June 16th. So let's look at the calendar for a special meeting for finance. Mr. Zavisky, do you have any parameters on that when you prefer?
No, I think just Hal, Jane, and I kind of talked about, I think it was the first week in June or the last week of May, I can't remember. We want to give the admin some additional time to pull some additional numbers and get some thoughts on paper.
Yeah, my recommendation is the first week of June. So the first is a Monday and the fifth is a Friday. So really any one of those days and you know, depending on all your schedules, I mean, you know, it can be in the evening or it could be really any time based on our schedules. So whatever works for you on any of those days.
Will it be remote or will we be doing it in person?
I kind of feel like I don't have enough information to just jump into let's all get together. Can we do this one maybe just remote and then, I mean, unless you want to get together, I mean, let's just do remote for the special and then, you know, decide. And
I'm in favor of holding off until the regular meeting if we, you know, get the word from the state and the county.
Well, and technically schools are still closed to the public, not that we couldn't all go in there. I don't mean it that way, but it's just, I think at the end of the month, it's going to be opened up a little bit more and it'll just feel a little bit more natural. So I guess the recommendation that you guys want to stick with the Tuesday night and look at the second, June 2nd.
That works for me.
Yep. That works.
Do you want to stick with the 6 o'clock? Do you want to go a little bit earlier? I'm available at any time, obviously.
I'm okay moving up to 5 if everyone else is.
That's fine with me.
That work?
Tuesday the 5th at 5 o'clock, or 2nd at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock p.m.
Sounds good with me.
Okay.
And Jane, do you need to have any year-end special meeting scheduled, or do you want to wait until the regular meeting to decide?
We might, but would it be easier just to schedule it now and then
cancel it if we don't need it?
Yeah, like the 30th, that's the last day of the month. It's a Tuesday. Then it'd be every 2 weeks we'd be meeting each other. If you could stand that.
I mean, if we can get that on scheduled now so everyone can get on the calendar. If we don't need it, Jane, you can cancel it.
We can cancel it easily, yeah. Yeah.
5 p.m. as well.
Yeah.
5 p.m. because it would be such an easy one. Yeah, be real. Okay.
This is the 2nd. You're saying?
No. Oh, this is June 30th for a closeout fiscal year.
Yeah.
So it'll be probably a real short one, unless Hal has something that he wants to bring forward at that time. My guess.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is a special on June 2nd. The regular on June 16th and another special potentially on June 30th. Okay. 6 o'clock on the 16th, 5 o'clock. Just want to make sure everyone's on the same page.
And Jeff, do we have an idea of when we want to do the finance or do we want to just talk about that? And
we'll have Jameson on email and we'll figure it out between the three of us.
Sounds good.
It also might depend on if we have new information. I hate to say that because I don't know when the state's going to come up with something new. But
well, and I guess how I envision the special meeting on the 2nd is answering any questions, but really looking at scenarios based on the five-year forecast in part. And, you know, we can we can, you know, Jane has a kind of a five-year forecast scenario. We've all seen it. And we can look at situations and have a true understanding of or at least as good of understanding we can have based on the forecast with different levy scenarios, reduction amounts, all those types of things.
And you know what? If we met before, the Finance Committee could have some input and we could like have some examples passed out, hard copy for your, you know, digitally. And then we can still play with them, but, you know, if a different one. So you can have
I'm planning, I guess, that last week of May to... Sure.
On my calendar, I had the 29th reserved for Finance Committee.
Oh, you were ahead of it.
Well, from the last one we had, that was my impression was what we were going to do was the 29th.
You know what? You're right, Mrs. Molnar. We did say that it wasn't a set in stone, but
a potential.
Yes, the potential for Finance Committee. That's what I had.
Does that give Hal and Jane enough time to come out of the Finance Committee and get anything they need set up ready for the regular? Or do you need a couple more days in between?
No, that'll be fine. That'll be fine.
So we're looking at the 29th then for
May
29th.
Now, what time are we talking for that?
2 o'clock works for you good, Jeff? Is that still
going to be good? 2 is probably a good one.
Okay, 2 o'clock on the 29th.
Finance. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Carolyn.
That's what I had was 29th at 2. So do we have anything further? Anyone? Any further discussion of any type? Anything? Then I need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Shea?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
I had to blow one. Sorry. Okay, 7:18.
Thank you, everyone. We will see you on June 2nd.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.